Greetings. I'm Bill Platke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Today, our guest is Laurie Ruth, Esquire, who is Legal Director for the Women's Law Center of Maryland. And Laurie's here today to talk to us about the various things that the Law Center is doing to help women and to help our community. So, Laurie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being available. I know that you are very, very busy at this time of year, and that's wonderful because there are a lot of problems out there and a lot of folks in need that need help. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us about the Women's Law Center?
Sure. The Women's Law Center is a 50-year-old nonprofit legal services organization, and we advocate for the rights of women and families. We do that in a variety of ways. One way is through direct representation, you know, projects where we actually provide lawyers to represent people in court. We do that in Baltimore City through our protective order project. Mm-hmm. And we also have protective order projects in Baltimore County and Carroll County. We have direct representation for survivors of domestic violence who are dealing with family law issues, usually custody, maybe divorce. Also, well, it's statewide, but really in the Baltimore area and Baltimore City, certainly. And we have a foreign-born survivor of domestic violence project, which is called our MDOVI project, Multi-Ethnic Domestic Violence Project. And they file to obtain legal status here in the United States for victims of intimate partner violence and sexual assault or human trafficking. So that's our direct representation. This time of year, as you said, we are very, very busy. We advocate in Annapolis for state laws, and our legislative session went until midnight on April 11th. It is a 90-day session that starts in the second Wednesday of January and ends the first Monday night of April every year. So we're still, recovering and summarizing and regrouping from all of that. And then we have various other things. We have statewide hotlines, a family law hotline, an employment law hotline, where we give, you know, information and referral, but not sometimes direct representation on the employment law hotline. It just depends. So, you know, there are a variety of ways that we try to help people.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. How can someone find out more information about the Law Center?
Well, our website is www.wlcmd.org. It stands for Women's Law Center Maryland. So that's wlcmd.org. And that has contact information and information about all of our projects. And it also has phone numbers for the various projects that you might, you know, your listeners might need at some time. Our main phone number is 410-321-8761, and our wonderful legal assistant and administrative assistant, Rebecca, answers the phone there most days and will, you know, help you figure out if there's something that we can do for you and then give you appropriate referral information if it's a different phone line.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that website's a good one. It also has various resources.
It does.
More about things.
Yes, it definitely does. I mean, one of the ones we refer to a lot from our family law hotline is a document called Legal Rights in Marriage and Divorce, mm-hmm. which I update every year after the laws go into effect that might have changed it. So, and it's written for lay people. So when people are first starting on the, you know, sad journey of ending a marriage, that's a good resource to just read and figure out how it works in Maryland, essentially.
Amen. So we should underline that legal rights regarding Maryland family law and divorce.
Yeah, marriage and divorce.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that all of the services that you're doing, I know, are swamped with people needing help. Are you seeing, I know you've been there for a while, are you seeing any trends? Are things getting worse under COVID or better?
Well, I mean, you know, COVID has been a ride, hasn't it? It's been, you know, an up and down thing with the courts closed and then the courts open and then the courts closing back up. But we know that domestic violence, for example, you know, was happening throughout that entire period. So what we saw was a difference in how people were managing it, because people, you know, were locked in their houses sometimes, secluded with their abusers, and the courts weren't easily accessible. So that was a really difficult time, and I think that the research that was done indicated that incidences of domestic violence actually increased during COVID because people were frustrated and scared and everything else, and all of that just exacerbates an already difficult situation. Now the courts are opening back up, and we and I suspect many service providers are inundated with phone calls. Hotlines are very busy. People are seeking protective orders. They're finding that, you know, now they have some freedom. They may be able to find an alternative place to live, you know, or get their abuser out of the house, and that abuser has an alternative place to live. And that was really, really difficult during COVID. And I will say the Baltimore City court system does not yet take online applications, essentially. All the court papers that you have to file still had to be done by mail or in person in the city, all during COVID and still now. And that added a real complexity. So the backlog in the court has just been tremendous. Especially, quite honestly, landlord-tenant, because there was a freeze put on evictions. And so now the courts are dealing with thousands and thousands and thousands of failure to pay rent cases and whatnot. You know, the good news is that in the legislature this year, there was a lot of good done to assist tenants, that will be starting up now in the usually it's June 1 or October 1 is when laws start happening. So they are ramping up to offer free services for tenants for eviction and failure to pay rent cases and the like, which is going to be really, really helpful for people.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like a lot of demand for services has really built up during the COVID lockdown periods, and now it's coming through. Are the other counties digitized?
Every county except for Baltimore City and Prince George's County, state courts have a system called MDEC, which is, I can't even remember what it stands for, but yes, so it's made life a lot easier, because if I had to file something in Prince George's County, I didn't have to get in the car and drive an hour down there. If they were on MDEC, I could just file it online.
So
Baltimore City
there.
And Prince George's. Yeah, and they're scheduled. It's been years and years and years. Montgomery County actually was the third to last to go on board, and it happened during COVID, and they have successfully onboarded Montgomery County. So they're just the two, you know, biggest counties we have left. From the court's perspective, Baltimore City and Prince George's, we're still waiting for them to go online. I mean, it's a mammoth job, because they have to get all of their paper documents uploaded.
Yeah.
And it's thousands and thousands of, I mean, hundreds of thousands of documents. So it's a big job.
That's a lot of scanning.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what they do is start with the most recent and work backwards. And so, you know, they sometimes still in Baltimore County, after we went on board up here, they, you know, you'd call for a case that was from 2012, and they're like, oh, we haven't scanned that one yet. We'll find it for you, scan it, and then it'll be active. It's a work in progress.
Let's talk more about the just-concluded legislative session. How did the Women's Law Center's priorities do?
How did we do? I think we did fairly well this year. We were part of a coalition. We were part of a lot of coalitions. But there was a large coalition to pass what was called the Time to Care Act, which is paid family leave. And it's, you know, really, really important for people. And they, you know, the impetus was essentially COVID to finally get this done, because people had sick or they had sick family members. So, I mean, I don't know, people listening may or may not, you know, keep track of this stuff. The legislature passed a slew of bills and sent them all to the governor basically in time, according to the rules of how this works, for the governor to veto them and for them to be able to come back in and override them.
Uh-huh.
So Time to Care, which is paid leave, the governor vetoed and it was overridden. The governor let some things go into effect without signing them, so they didn't have to have a veto override. But, and there's a, you know, there was a tremendous, this is not really a Women's Law Center priority, it's just not our expertise, but there's a big climate change bill to try to reduce our, you know, carbon footprint essentially by 2045. The legislature banned ghost guns. I'm not sure if people, ghost guns are guns that you essentially buy the parts through the mail and build your own working gun at home, and they're not registered. And so they are used increasingly in crimes because they're not traceable. And there's actually a national effort on this as well right now, but Maryland successfully banned ghost guns.
Good.
They passed a bill. There will be a referendum. Everybody needs to go vote if you have a view about this, or I hope you vote anyway, but there will be a referendum about the legalization of recreational marijuana, cannabis recreation on the ballot in the fall. And so if you support that or oppose it, I suggest you go vote on that referendum. And a few little laws are put in place for if it does pass in the vote, how it's going to, you know, come into effect. It also reduced some crimes for possession of marijuana. And then another big Women's Law Center was success was about abortion access. There were more anti-choice bills than I have seen in my 15 years this year.
Wow.
And none of them prevailed. None of them passed. The Speaker of the House, Adrienne Jones, who is a terrific, terrific speaker, had a constitutional amendment that would have enshrined in our Constitution the right to abortion, but that did not, it got through the House, but it did not get through the Senate. But there was a great bill that about abortion access that has passed that is going to allow training for medical professionals other than just doctors, you know, MDs, to be able to give abortion care. And so nurse practitioners, physician's assistant, and the like will be able to be trained in Maryland to perform abortions. And when I say perform abortions, I think it's important to recognize that over 50% of abortions now are medically induced. You take medication to induce the abortion. And so it's not a difficult surgery or something
like
that they're training people to do. Yeah, it's not like, I mean, most of them are not like that. So, so this, we think this is a, you know, a great advancement. It comes from, you know, historically when we put abortion in our laws and allowed it to be legal here in the 70s, it was in response to the history of really, really dangerous back alley abortions by untrained people. Our law said only doctors, only MDs can do them. But the medical world has advanced so much that now these other, you know, extremely competent medical professionals should be able to give this kind of health care to women who need it.
Right.
You know, just a few other things. There was a lot of money, $570 million for cybersecurity investment, essentially, for the state, for, you know, the continuing battle against cyber attacks. There will be large tax cuts for retirees. I don't have the specifics, but essentially 80% of retirees will benefit from the law that is going into effect for tax cuts for retirees.
That's wonderful.
It was bipartisan.
Great. That's wonderful. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. How can someone find out more information about these bills?
Well, I mean, you can call our office. You can go on our website and sign up for our legislative alerts, which we send out throughout from January through April to tell you about what we specifically are doing. And you can really Google the Maryland General Assembly website and follow along from January to April. It's a wild time and sort of fun, but you really do see democracy in action.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Unfortunately, though, that's all we have time for in living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Laurie Ruth, Esquire, who's legal director of the Women's Law Center, for being our guest today. Thank you, Laurie.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, my goodness. Thank you for coming. You are doing such wonderful work out there for not only for women, but for everybody and for our community. That you are a gem, and I wanted to thank you sincerely.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're certainly welcome. For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.